Welcome, Blog everybody,
Talk Radio.
To the Hypnotic Show, hip hop's finest hour on the radio. And today, guest appearance by Kim Kardashian. I'll be doing that interview shortly. And then make sure to start your day off right with getting some hypnotic coffee by getting it at hypnoticcoffee.com. Also, make sure to grab my limited edition shoes at hypnoticshoes.com. Grab my limited edition glasses at hypnoticglasses.com. And then also make sure to go check out the interview on K9 Magazine by going to K9Magazine.com and then go to /hypnotic, and then you can check it out. And then on the 29th, it'll actually be, I'll be on the cover with MJ.
When was the last time you went somewhere where someone didn't know who you were? Or actually, was there a moment where someone said to you, who are you? What do you do? Like, when was the last time you had an interaction like that?
You know what? In Japan, it's like that. You know, everyone's really respectful. Even if they might recognize you, they don't ask for photos. And it's a really amazing experience. I think it's important, you know, just to listen. I love my life. I love everything that comes along with it. I am not complaining. But a little glimpse of that, I think, especially for the little ones, is so good.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a beautiful experience. I think it's nice for everyone to feel wanted and loved and then also feel unseen.
Yeah.
Like we almost crave both of those. I was thinking about it today. You're always surrounded by film crews and, you know, you have like 352 million people that follow you on Instagram. I wonder, do you prioritize time alone? Do you get time alone? And what does that look like?
I do. I get up really early. My morning workout really is my, I don't want to say therapy session because it's not like I'm really communicating things, but even if I'm quiet and I'm in my zone, that's my mental health check. Every morning, I love my workout. It keeps me sane. I can't say that enough. That's my time in the morning. Then as soon as everyone starts to get up for school, the madness happens, and it's about 2 hours of madness from getting 4 kids ready in the morning, fed, out the door, on to school. I drop off school every day, and then I have a little bit of time, I'd say about 20 minutes, driving back, where I just blast my music. I don't take any calls. That's my alone time. I love it. And then I get to the house and I start my full work day and I'm committed and focused. And then the madness of bath time, bedtime, dinner time. And once 4 babies are asleep, and I just cherish that time at night when everyone's asleep and I can watch whatever show I want and just have some alone time. So I do take the time for myself. I think it's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. You said something beautiful before we started recording, and I definitely want to go in that direction, because you were talking about the different platforms and how you can show different parts of yourself, but you came here because there was something specific.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear that, because I want to go in that direction with you.
I love your podcast. I've seen it, and I think I just love seeing the reels that pop up with just a quick message that'll get you through the day, that'll remind you who you are, remind you what you need to come across and see at that moment in that day and carry you through the day.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for people to express like how they feel and who they are a little bit deeper and what's in their heart. And I think that's kind of what this podcast is about.
Yeah. And I think, thank you for trusting me. I really do value that, and I don't take it for granted. But the interesting thing there is, I feel like there's a beautiful statement in Japanese culture says that we have 3 faces. One face we show to the world. The second face we show to our friends and family. And the third face no one sees. And I wonder, when you're talking about your values and who you are, what's the part of you that you think no one gets to see in all these other places that you want to share today?
I definitely think I show all my faces, but I do think that people pick and choose what they want to take from you. I do share journeys of mine that have been challenges, whether it's like law school and different projects and how starting a business and all of that. I definitely weave that in throughout, but I think that anytime you have the opportunity to express yourself in a more meaningful way, I think it's always a good thing to do, especially since I'm just a big fan of you and what you represent and who you are. So I always love to share my tips and anything that I've learned along the way, because God knows it is not easy.
Yeah.
Like, parenting is so hard. Family dynamics, relationships, it is so hard.
It's really interesting you say that, because when I was speaking to your mom, she was saying that about you. She was saying that you're the person that for anyone in your family, no matter how busy you are, you'll go completely out of your way. She was telling me about a particular incident, but she was just saying that you will just dive in, book everyone on the flight, get everyone there, get to that person, help them, support them. And even when it's someone who's not directly connected to you, but is indirectly connected, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but the idea of just, you reach that far out. And when I was hearing that about you from her, I was thinking that that takes so much compassion and care from your side. And those are not two words that on some of the other platforms that people may hear about you, but that's what I'm getting talking to your mother about you. And I wonder, how have you, I feel family is the cause for so much stress for people. It's the cause for so much anxiety for people. And as you said, it's hard. How have you continued to lean in to compassion and care, even when it's easier to compare and criticize and complain?
Well, with family, I mean, I was always raised like, no matter what, blood is thicker than water. There's no other options. So we definitely go through our things as sisters. There's no other options. Like, we will work it out. Like, we are family. We are sisters. We will figure it out. And I think you just have to, I think also more compassion comes with age and the more things that you've been through. And especially, I think, my heart has opened up so much in that space, just spending time even with people behind bars that I'm fighting for. And I might not have even had the slightest idea of what someone's gone through, or even understood taking the time to listen to people more than maybe speaking and making it about yourself. And my compassion has just grown, and my empathy has grown on another level. You can't really judge people for their pace on when they choose to really want to dig deep into their own compassion and empathy, and when people choose to grow and evolve. But it's so nice to have people that support that journey and grow with you, because once you realize that this life really isn't about you and it's about helping as many people as you can, all these like doors open up for you and your mind just opens up. And it's a really great place to be when you feel like you have enough, when you would chase things for so long, and when you just feel content. It's such a good place to be, and it's such an, like, allows for so much more compassion.
I think, and I want everyone to go back and listen to that part. I feel like you just beautifully defined compassion, and I'm going to try and reiterate what you just said. Yeah, it was just, it was so well said, because I think people think about compassion as care, and you just defined it by pace. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're patient for the pace at which people grow and evolve, that actually is compassion.
Yeah. There's nothing worse when someone is like so woke and they're on this therapy journey and they expect you to be right there with them. But it's a beautiful thing to sit back and watch people make mistakes, learn from their mistakes, grow and evolve, and just be there to hold their hand and support them. I think that's what anyone would want. I've seen so many people on these like self-help journeys that just aren't as happy, you know? And I think you just have to like sit back and do what works for you and move at your own pace and understand that it's okay that you're not at the same level as someone else.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just such a, like, everything happens the way it's supposed to. I love just people in their own journeys. And I never try to be so preachy or to think that someone has to be in my place and at the level where I've evolved to. It's great when your friends have the same kind of epiphanies as you and you want the same things, but then sometimes it's just not like that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You brought two things to my mind. One was what real love is. Like when you really love your family, you don't love them because they change.
Yeah.
You're patient with them as they try to change. That's what love is, because they may or may never get to the other side. And the other thing that came to mind is something my teachers would often tell me, my monk teachers, they would often repeat to me that you're never trying to get someone to the next step in your journey. You're trying to get them to the next step in their journey.
Yeah.
And I think you're so right that when we're doing self-work, we are constantly preaching to other people about the things we want to hear and the things we want to do.
Yeah. And like self-work can just be so different for so many people. You know, like my morning workouts, I swear that's my self-work. My drive in the car every day, blasting whatever music I want to, like that is my meditation. That's my zone. And that works for me. You know, when I need help and I need help figuring out different parenting things and different methods that I can use, I will reach out and get the help that I need when I need it for sure. But I also think there's no like right method of what works for everyone. You know, it's like whatever works for you, good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like when people see you, and even now as you're talking, you have so much trust in yourself. Or trust in your inner voice. That doesn't mean I don't believe you're saying I always get it right or this is the only way. What you're actually saying is I've learned to trust my voice. And I wonder, was there a time when you didn't trust that voice? And or can you remember the first time where you started to hear it? Like I remember the first time I really started to hear my voice deeply was probably when I was 14 years old. This is who you are. This is what you care about. This is what matters to you. You don't need to be this or be that or do it this way. And I remember I started listening to it then. And now that inner voice is really loud.
Yeah.
It's always there.
God, I wish I listened to my inner voice at 14.
Well, do you remember when you first started because when I'm hearing you now, you're just like, yeah, like I'm very comfortable with people being themselves and I'm comfortable being who I am, which is beautiful. But when did that, I feel so many people want to live that way, but that's the thing we all struggle with.
It definitely didn't come right away. You know, I was a people pleaser and I would make decisions based off of other people's happiness for so long. And I would say, honestly, in the last few years, definitely at 40, you know, I figured it out of just following my happiness, which was really, I think, an important place for me to get to because I always put other people's happiness over my own. And it doesn't mean you disregard other people's feelings and it doesn't mean you don't care and you don't love them, but it is a great place to be when you finally put yourself first. And I will say that took a long time. And that was like relying on other people for confidence in business decisions. And it's great to have your team and to always like bounce ideas and make sure that you're collectively picking the right choice and work thing for you. But true confidence where you feel you're making the right decisions, you know you got it, you are thinking about yourself first and not just in a selfish way, but like in a protecting your heart way, it feels really good. And I might not have gotten there until I was literally 40.
And what do you think it was about the last few years where you had to turn towards that, that pushed you there?
I've never been an unhappy person. I'm always really happy with my surroundings. I don't need people to make me happy. I'm not really ever searching for something. I'm really content. My babies make me happy. My family, my life, you know, experiences make me happy. But when you just look around and when there's like tension and stress that is just not necessary from work, from relationships, from friendships. And you just decide to be still and not try to please everyone, it becomes just really clear. And you realize that you just want to be happy and you want to share this life and these experiences with your group of people that you trust and you love and who are super loyal. Like life is always going to be stressful and you can't control half of it. But if you can control what you put out and how you react to all of life's stresses and your response to all of that, and realizing that you could eliminate a lot of those stresses with making yourself happy first and choosing yourself, then you know you're on the right path. And once I did that, and once I chose to choose myself and be happy, so many opportunities just opened up. Things that I never thought in a million years would come my way. It seemed like clear as day that the universe was rewarding me for choosing myself and like elevating, like getting to the next level in the video game. Like I had to get here and I was always like here, just in my growth process. And once I chose myself, it was like, oh my God, the universe is opening up for you and all these opportunities are coming my way. And those were the confirmations that I was heading in the right direction. I remember saying that to one of my sisters. I was like, oh my God, it is so crazy. I got this opportunity, this is changing. And it seemed like all these amazing things started to happen in my life when I just took a second, was still, realized, wait a minute, I'm trying to make everyone happy. I'm doing all this stuff for everyone else but myself. Let me just like pull back a second, focus on myself. And then it seemed like everyone else was happier because everything was just falling into place. And that was like, I saw it clear as day. And that would like push me and motivate me to continue to just be happy and do what I wanted to do instead of what other people wanted to do. And that was like, it was like a good feeling. It really like showed me that I was making the right decisions.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
And genuinely. And
like a good place to be when you're genuinely a happy person, you know, like no complaints.
Yeah.
Like not taking things too seriously, not taking yourself too seriously is also a little key to happiness.
Yeah. I think the energy that gets lost in worrying about something versus working towards fixing it or solving it.
Yeah.
Can just drain.
The worrying, if you worry about something, it's not going to change the outcome. Let's just come up with a solution. Like, let's say what the problem is, not complain. I'm not a complainer. So it's like, let's just get to the solution. Let's figure it out and let's move on.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nothing worse when you complain every step of the way.
Yeah. And it's natural and it's easy, but we all know it doesn't get you to where you want to go.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big reason. What's the, I wonder with what you were saying, one of the big things that comes out as you were talking about family and people in your life, and you talked about your life as chat, like there's this loyalty is such a big value for you.
Yeah.
Across your life, it seems.
Yeah.
What have you learned about people that you wish you learned sooner? Was there something that you started to learn and recognize patterns in people and that has made you better now, but you wish like, oh, if I learned this a couple of years sooner, then it could have saved me a lot of the stress and challenges that came up.
Don't take anything personally. I've been really blessed to have really great, solid relationships. I have the same group of best friends. We went to preschool together. We talk every single day. My best friend is my best friend since the day I grew up, you know, when I was born. The people I work with, my family, my sisters, but my best friend's sisters also, you know, and everyone I trust, 100%. Everyone is so loyal, 100%. You can't come up to me and tell me something about one of my friends. If like someone were to say, oh, this person said this about you and they're in my circle, I would be like, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would trust that 100%. And I think that's so rare, or what I've seen is so rare. And I just feel so lucky to just love everyone around you, trust everyone around you. They trust you. My friends know they can call me any hour. I'll be the first one to pick up and help. All of my friends would drop everything to help me in a situation, and to have that real support and love, I think is everything in life, to have loyal, supportive people around you. And I think you can also tell so much about a person that has really long-standing relationships, that stability. When I look to hire people, I look at their previous jobs and how long they've had those relationships for. And think about it, if there's someone that's bouncing from job to job, obviously there could be other situations that come into place, but I value people that have these long-standing relationships with people, whether it's their employer or family, and that's super important to me, to have all my friends have really important relationships in their life.
I think that says a lot about you and the family, because I wonder what it takes to hold on to a relationship like that when you're on a rocket ship, right? I feel like all of us deal with shifts in our life, transitions and family and friends that we want to hold on to, but it gets harder and harder, especially when there's success, when there's envy, when there's competition. And sometimes it's not because someone doesn't love you or doesn't care about you. It's so natural in the world we live in. And so what does it really take? Because I think this will help a lot of people. What does it actually take to hold on to someone you love and continue with all the noise and all the challenges and all the stress that comes with it? What does it actually take? Because
but then
it's
there's
tough.
Those friends that you don't have to talk to every day. I mean, thank God for group chats where you can chime in and heart something really quick, you know? But like, your real best friends will also support you. And it takes that mutual respect. Because what my friends are doing, if they have something that's important to them, it's just as important for me to show up for them as it is for them to show up for me. I might have a more colorful life and a bigger event that I'm asking them to show up to, but it doesn't mean that theirs isn't just as important. So I think just having that mutual respect, treating people with respect is just a given. I truly think someone is such a solid person when they have really grounded relationships, grounded in love, and relationships can be different things. You know, sometimes you have your group of girlfriends that you love to go on vacation with. And then sometimes you have, you know, your other friends that you work really well with. Every relationship can be different. If you have just a mutual respect around the, across the board, that's, I think, the number one thing.
Yeah. It takes two.
Yeah.
It takes two. That, totally. That's the point. It's, you're not going to be able to create it or falsely hold on to it. Someone who doesn't
totally
want to give you that respect.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. You were talking about earlier about parenting, and you brought it up a few times, and I wonder how you
view... You don't have kids, do you?
Not yet.
Okay. We'll have this conversation again when you do.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking parenting questions. What was your vision like for what you thought parenting was going to be like versus what it actually is?
Everyone says the days are long and the years are short. And that couldn't be like a more true statement. Mm. So like when you're in it, I mean... especially when they're babies and you're feeding and you're, there's madness going on. It's like full madness. It's the best chaos though. Like my mornings, you have no idea what's going on. It's like, I always have to do one of my daughter's hair and it has to be perfect and it has to be a certain way. And then this one needs me to put his shoes on and they all need you. And they all, it's like full crazy madness, cooking, running around, like it's wild. That's why I need my workout in the morning, just to like prepare for the 2 hours of craziness. I'd say parenting is the thing that has taught me the most about myself. It has been the most challenging thing. There are nights I cry myself to sleep, like what just happened, you know, with all the moods and the personalities, and sometimes they're fighting and there's no one there. Like it's me to play good cop and bad cop. So like that is definitely a challenge when, you know, something I'm working on is being a little bit firmer, you know, there's nothing that can prepare you. Anyone, any person that says, oh, we're waiting to have X amount of money in the bank. Oh, we're waiting to have a home before we have kids. Oh, I'm waiting for this job to come in before we have kids. I don't care how long you wait. I don't care what you're waiting for. You are never prepared, but you will figure it out. And it will make you so proud of yourself that you figured it out and that you got through the day. And sometimes it's nights where it's just, we are going hour by hour to see if we're going to survive night by night. If a tantrum comes in, oh my God, your life is completely upside down. But it teaches you so much more about yourself than I think anyone, any parent could have ever anticipated. I mean, there is nights when you don't wash your hair for days as a mom and you have spit up all over you and you're wearing the same pajamas, you know, and there's just nothing that can prepare you for this experience. It is the most challenging, rewarding job on this planet.
When was the moment when you were looking into your baby's faces and
said, I want to run away? I need to hide for a night. every night. I'm just kidding.
No, thank you. It's honest. I think there's a little bit of truth in that feeling that a lot of parents have. What's the hardest when you've been looking, when you look into their faces and you had one of these moments where you were learning these lessons, what was the hardest lesson you had to learn about yourself that made you go, whoa, I didn't see that before. If it wasn't for that kid, I wouldn't have seen that.
Yeah, it happens all the time. I always think everything in life comes our way to really teach us something. And it's a really hard task when you have four kids and you know, they all want to be put to bed at the same time by the same person. And they all want to do it individually and have that experience. And no one wants to wait. And I'm locked in a room with kids banging outside of the door because they want me to put them to bed. And I'm like, I can't cut myself in four pieces. So we're going to have to schedule this out. And we're coming up with a schedule and none of them want to listen to the schedule. And then they all start crying. And that's like a typical night, you know? And so I like sit them outside of my one daughter's door and I'm like, I'll pick you up next. We're doing this for 15 minutes and they can't be patient. And they're banging on the door. Come on, it's been 5 minutes, you know? It's like those nights are every single night, big school projects, big things that are happening, and they don't understand that I work or I have a school schedule too, or, you know, stuff kids will never understand. So I think it's just those nights when you can't divide yourself and you have to just work with what we have and try to bribe two of them to get put to bed at the same time. You know,
yeah.
I think unless you're a parent, like, so much respect to parents, so much respect to people also that aren't parents that want to live their free life. Enjoy it while you can. I was at Easter on Palm Springs and I looked at my mom's house and she had her table set for all of her kids, all of her grandkids, and we're all staying in her house. And I was like, it's a forever thing. It's not like, hey, okay, you're 18 and you're on your own. It's a forever thing. And we're in our 40s and we're still coming at her and fighting and asking my mom to resolve everything. And I look at her and I'm like, how did you do it? Mm. I personally can't wait for my kids to get a little bit older. Everyone like is so afraid of the teenage phase.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for it. Play this back for me when they're teenagers. And I'll probably, but I see the relationship I have with my mom and I knew the relationship I had with my dad and how comfortable we were talking to them about all of our problems and all of our friend stuff and all of the drama and all of the high school stuff. And even the stuff I talk to my mom about now and how open I am about life and relationships and how close we are. Even if we didn't get it as a kid, I can look at her now and say, I get it. As a mom now, as an adult now, I know why you made those decisions. And I love having that relationship. And that is why I wanted to have four kids. I saw my mom, you know, and my dad had four together before she had my two little sisters. And I loved the big family. And I always knew I wanted to have four kids. And I just love so much our relationship with her and my grandma. And I just can't wait to have that with my kids. I can't wait till they're old enough to understand so much that I can never explain to them now that they'll get one day. And we can laugh about it.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, you reminded me of a beautiful old saying that says, the day you realize your parents were right, your kids are telling you that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. So
on searching for their purpose, would you say that that was a expression of purpose or?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of those moments, like by chance, I happened to be looking on social media and seeing a case that I just didn't understand. And I'm always a really curious person. So I'll never let something go if it's weighing on my heart to not at least try to figure out how it happened. I've always been really interested in crime stuff and solving things and figuring things out. So when I saw a case of a woman that just didn't make sense to me, I was really curious. And I sent this little video that popped up on my Twitter to attorneys that I knew really well that could answer questions for me. And then when it seemed like I couldn't just sit there, it was really weighing on my heart when I felt like it was so unfair. I didn't know that there was like thousands of cases that were so unfair. I just thought, oh, wow, like I have to help this person. And then when I was successful in doing that, on my journey, I realized like, wait, there's so many more people like this. Like I can't not do something. And I think that that also goes with whatever is meant to come to you at your own pace for your own learning levels is what's meant to be, because that came to me. I wasn't like searching for that. And that changed my life and it changed who I am. I just can't sit around and see this happen to other people that aren't deserving of their freedom. I think just everyone's on their own path and things will come to you when you need to be like elevated to that growth level. And I'm really grateful for those experiences because I definitely think that that's my purpose.
Mm-hmm. What internal changes did you see in yourself that maybe you didn't see before when you started doing this work? Like what did you have to grapple with internally? Was there anything that you had to break through inside?
Yeah.
What were those things?
I would say I always felt like I was a compassionate person and a caring person. And I always cared about people's feelings. But my level of empathy was at a completely different level when I started. I might have been way more judgmental. And I would think that someone that was behind bars, especially for a really lengthy or a serious crime, that they probably were absolutely guilty. I had no compassion. I was just really judgmental. And then when I started to hear about these cases and people's backstories and their histories and realized that so many people really didn't have the opportunities to be better and didn't know better, it really changed my whole life. And like my level of empathy is just so different than what it was years ago. And I think that's why I fight so hard for people to get second chances, because people make really bad choices and really bad mistakes, some way, way worse than other people. But if you're never given the chance to change, that's really sad, especially if you make a really bad decision as a teenager and then you're in your 40s and you're given no shot to change when you really already maybe have so much. It was really important to me to express that and help people that have made those changes.
And I love how I'm assuming that when you do something like that in the outside space, it kind of applies to your whole life, where all of a sudden you're so right that I think we all, not even people behind bars, I think we all judge people all the time.
Yeah.
And when you're almost doing it in such an extreme way and raising your empathy in such an extreme environment, you can now extend that and express that to so many more people.
Yeah.
Because you've had to do it in a way where you were like, oh, definitely that person deserves it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you start realizing maybe they didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
And so maybe we don't deserve this. I think, you know,
but in all levels of life of judgment, I used to judge people and like their relationships and how people lived their lives. And now I'm like, whatever makes you happy, why should we judge? Who are we to say how people should live their lives? Mm. My judgment is just, I don't know if it comes with age or experience or just going through so many things, but just be happy. You know, isn't that what life is about? Experiences, making people feel heard and seen and appreciated, and just having gratitude for the things in life that we're so blessed to have and work for. And we're surrounded by the people we love, that's real success.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. And I feel that a lot of people start getting better at that with the judgment outside. But one of the things that people struggle to deal with the most is the judgment in their head. And I wonder, do you find that you ever catch yourself judging yourself and being hard on yourself and being heavy and harsh on yourself?
No.
You've been able to give that up.
I'll be like competitive with myself. Mm. I think I'm a really competitive person, but I'm pretty easy on myself.
Wow, that's incredible.
I was always like really calm, really easygoing.
That's a real achievement.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you see people judging themselves all the time.
Yeah.
I was grabbing some coffees for my team a couple of months back or something. And I remember like I was up paying the cashier and she gave me the change and I was grabbing the change and walking off. And she was like, wait, I'm so stupid. I got the change wrong. And I was like, I didn't even notice. And I looked and I was like, oh, okay. Like I was like, you're not stupid. Like easy mistake. And you could see the look on her face. Like she was judging herself so harshly for something so small. And I guess when you see people judge themselves, then how do you respond to that, or how do you support them?
Honestly, I really haven't experienced that much.
Mm, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I love hearing that, because I think it is so true that you can curate and create a community around you,
mm-hmm,
that has similar values.
Yeah.
And then almost you don't even...
I see a lot of like determination and
yeah,
a lot of like creativity, a lot of hard work.
Mm.
Like if I were to go on vacation with my girlfriends, we'd all be getting up probably at 6 a.m., all want to go on a workout. I don't think there's that one girl that would be like, I'm sleeping till 10 and I'm not working out, you know? So I think that obviously everyone around you is different and has different personalities, but I think a lot of my core friends are really like-minded.
Mm. Yeah, and sometimes that positive peer pressure can be really healthy too. Like,
yeah,
even if you have that one friend who's struggling, as soon as you're added to that group,
totally,
you see them elevate. I've seen that with so many of my friends that
totally,
even if there's one person who's struggling with something, as soon as they're in that,
mm-hmm,
pack,
yeah,
all of a sudden you start to see them break through their ceiling.
Yeah.
And it changes for them.
Yeah. I think something that I've learned maybe the hard way, because I feel like I'm at a really good place now where the people in my life, I feel really solid. I think this is the first time in my life. Obviously I've had really long relationships with my girlfriends and friends since elementary school. But something I learned is that you cannot help people that don't want the help and don't, you can't force your beliefs and project that on someone that thinks something totally different. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to have those different views. It's why the world goes round, you know? But if you don't align in the same values and morals and things at your core, then it's okay to realize that this life is so short and you should go and find the people that do align with what you really believe in. And I think sometimes there's so much going on that you can be blinded by so many other things that if you don't stop and think about what someone's true values and morals are and how they want to live their life, so much other things are going on. So I don't blame people that don't really stop and think about those things. I mean, those are some of the lessons that I would teach my kids when they're looking for friends and partners and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't really force things upon other people. You can't expect them to be where you're at your level. And sometimes that could really coexist really well, but then sometimes it really can't.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let go of the idea of molding people into what you want. Think about if there's something about yourself that you really want to change, the expectations of going into something and thinking you're going to get a different result or thinking you have the power to change someone is so selfish and so crazy. And everyone does it. And everyone has to learn on their own. And that's something that I've always like sat back, helped friends, given them advice, but never really pushed, because even if I were to say, hey, don't walk down that path, trust me, I've been there, you don't want to go there. And they say, okay. And they follow you and they go on a different path. They'll never learn that lesson. They have no clue what I'm talking about. You know, I could say parenting stuff to you all day long. With all due respect, you have no clue until you've been through it.
Mm-hmm.
I welcome people's journeys and their lessons, and I'll always be there to the people that I love to help them through that, but they got to go through that in order to grow on their own.
What's the biggest lesson you learned from your mom that you're trying to pass on to the kids?
I think just how she makes people feel really heard and welcomed. She really is the most warm, welcoming person, and it's just like her overall, it seems superficial, but it's not, like her party planning skills. It's not even that. It's just the welcomingness of, I don't even know if these are words I'm saying, but like just her ability to be so warm and to make everyone feel like they were invited here. I'm going to create this like special Easter dinner with like the things on the table, you know, that she had when we were growing up at my dad's house. Like she just has all this like really special nostalgic stuff around all the time and always tries to make everyone feel so special, but with like a gathering so that everyone feels comfortable and can hang around. Like she just loves people in her space, mm-hmm, and loves to create these memories. And I think that we all got that from her, and we will all if I can just pass that on to my kids, just the experiences that we have as a family, whether we're just sitting in our pajamas and hanging out, we make the time to be together. And I hope that my kids want to make the time to be together when they grow up with their cousins and their aunts and just the whole family.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I think
they
will too.
Yeah, I think you've managed to hold on to it in your entire generation. And so
yeah,
they see that. I think kids mirror so much.
I'm like, you're never going to leave me. We always have to be besties. You're never going to be too cool for me. And they always say yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can live with me in your 20s, your 30s, never move out. They said, okay.
They've signed the contract?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have no idea.
They'll breach it.
Yeah.
it'll be okay.
Yeah. You won't sue them.
Yeah.
But I wonder how in your position, like, you know, what you just described is what so many people go through. And like you said, it's so hard for them to experience that. But when you're explaining things like the paparazzi, or like you were saying that when you're in Japan, like you didn't have that experience and that was so nice for the kids. Like, how do you walk them through the nuances of the life that you lead? And I'm guessing a lot of their friends also have similar lives, but I'm sure they have some friends who don't have parents
totally.
Like yourselves. And so how do you help them reconcile, or what are the kind of things that you talk about with them, or what can they understand at this age? And what are you like, well, that's just going to have to wait?
I'll talk to my kids about anything they want to ask me about. I am so open and honest with my kids. I think that's the only way to be. And it could be things that they might not understand, and I'll wait to find the appropriate time to talk about it. I think they grew up seeing the cameras, and they grew up seeing that even as babies. You know, we'd walk out and there'd be paparazzi. So it's not really something that they acknowledge a lot. But, you know, my daughter's really vocal. She'll tell them when she doesn't want them around and to leave her alone and to stop. And I love that they use their little voices. But they also have such a normal life and such a different life away from all of that too. Mm. And that's why I love that my sisters and I all had babies at the same time, so they can be with each other and have these experiences together.
Mm. Absolutely. There's all the words that come out from you are like togetherness, loyalty. It's incredible to see it in family. But I think what you've then done, which when I saw you do this, it really moved me when I saw you kind of move into that direction of justice reform and using your voice and training to be a lawyer to make these changes in the world out there. Because I find that, you know, there's a natural sense of survival as a family. But then when you start taking into account the survival of others, there's an extension of love and, you know, what goes out to the world. And
yeah.
I think it was really special to see that. And this podcast is called On Purpose for a Reason, because I think everyone's searching for their purpose. Would you say that was a expression of purpose, or?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of those moments, like by chance, I happened to be looking on social media and seeing a case that I just didn't understand. And I'm always a really curious person. So I'll never let something go if it's weighing on my heart to not at least try to figure out how it happened. I've always been really interested in crime stuff and solving things and figuring things out. So when I saw a case of a woman that just didn't make sense to me, I was really curious. And I sent this little video that popped up on my Twitter to attorneys that I knew really well that could answer questions for me. And then when it seemed like I couldn't just sit there, it was really weighing on my heart when I felt like it was so unfair. I didn't know that there was like thousands of cases that were so unfair. I just thought, oh wow, like I have to help this person. And then when I was successful in doing that, on my journey, I realized like, wait, there's so many more people like this. Like I can't not do something. And I think that also goes with whatever's meant to come to you at your own pace for your own learning levels is what's meant to be, because that came to me. I wasn't like searching for that. And that changed my life and it changed who I am. I just can't sit around and see this happen to other people that aren't deserving of their freedom. I think just everyone's on their own path and things will come to you when you need to be like elevated to that growth level. And I'm really grateful for those experiences because I definitely think that that's my purpose.
Mm-hmm. What internal changes did you see in yourself that maybe you didn't see before when you started doing this work? Like, what did you have to grapple with internally? Was there anything that you had to break through inside?
Yeah,
what were those things?
I would say I always felt like I was a compassionate person and a caring person, and I always cared about people's feelings. But my level of empathy was at a completely different level when I started. I might have been way more judgmental, and I would think that someone that was behind bars, especially for a really lengthy or a serious crime, that they probably were absolutely guilty. I had no compassion. I was just really judgmental. And then when I started to hear about these cases and people's backstories and their histories, and realized that so many people really didn't have the opportunities to be better and didn't know better, it really changed my whole life. And like, my level of empathy is just so different than what it was years ago. And I think that's why I fight so hard for people to get second chances, because people make really bad choices and really bad mistakes, some way, way worse than other people. But if you're never given the chance to change, that's really sad, especially if you make a really bad decision as a teenager and then you're in your 40s and you're given no shot to change when you really already maybe have so much. It was really important to me to express that and help people that have made those changes.
And I love how I'm assuming that when you do something like that in the outside space, it kind of applies to your whole life, where all of a sudden you're so right that I think we all, not even people behind bars, I think we all judge people all the time.
Yeah.
And when you're almost doing it in such an extreme way and raising your empathy in such an extreme environment, you can now extend that and express that to so many more people.
Yeah.
Because you've had to do it in a way where you were like, oh, definitely that person deserves it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you start realizing maybe they didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
And so maybe we don't deserve this. I think, you know,
but in all levels of life of judgment, I used to judge people and like their relationships and how people lived their lives. And now I'm like, whatever makes you happy, why should we judge? Who are we to say how people should live their lives?
Mm-hmm.
My judgment is just, I don't know if it comes with age or experience or just going through so many things, but just be happy. You know, isn't that what life is about? Experiences, making people feel heard and seen and appreciated, and just having gratitude for the things in life that we're so blessed to have and work for. And if we're surrounded by the people we love, that's real success.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. And I feel that a lot of people start getting better at that with the judgment outside. But one of the things that people struggle to deal with the most is the judgment in their head. And I wonder, do you find that you ever catch yourself judging yourself and being hard on yourself and being heavy and harsh on yourself?
No.
You've been able to give that up.
I'll be like competitive with myself. Mm. I think I'm a really competitive person, but I'm pretty easy on myself.
Wow, that's incredible.
I was always like really calm.
Thanks for the interview. Now, back to the music.
Man, imagine this world with no guns, no fight, no diseases. That's a world I would want to live in. Everybody would want to live in. Imagine no guns, imagine no fight, imagine no diseases, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine the world with no haters. Would you still be motivated to ball with paper? Imagine the streets free from police sirens and cop chases. Imagine if pop was alive. Will rappers be as hot? Imagine if Jeezy went pop. Would the trap still pop? Imagine if Biggie didn't get shot. Would him and Puff still rock? Imagine if that disease didn't take my pop. I could still hear him say I love you a lot. Imagine if John Lennon didn't make Imagine, would you still imagine?
Imagine.
Imagine if there was no Gucci or True Religion fabric. Imagine if Jesus walked amongst us, would you still wear crosses? Imagine owning your own everything, no work, no boss.
Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine that life.
Imagine me at the top with no bottom at sight.
Imagine
me living with no problems in life.
Imagine
no wars, no soldiers at a fight.
Imagine
if there wasn't a day or a night.
Imagine
if there wasn't a Satan or a Christ.
Imagine
if Eazy-E didn't first come to AIDS, would it still be an NWA? Imagine all the homeless people have enough place to stay.
Imagine
everybody having enough food on their plate. Imagine looking in the mirror, not seeing your face.
Imagine
if my great grandma was alive, would she still make sure I'm straight?
Imagine
if every day had an earthquake. Imagine if everybody was real instead of a snake.
Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine no guns, imagine no fights, imagine no disease, imagine that life. Imagine that life. Imagine that life.
Moved a brick of donkey shit. Ecstasy and disappointment.
the pill like Detex. This shit is real. Me and Titus fuck the game up with them yellow pills. Morphine and fluine. Know everything I touch, it gotta go. Finna get a brick of Rome and turn BR to the end.
I'm a corner boy. I'm a corner boy. Corner boy. Corner boy. Give it to you however you want it, boy. Corner boy. Corner boy. Corner boy. Corner boy. Give it to you however you want it, boy. Corner boy. Corner boy, corner boy, corner boy, give it to you however you want it, boy. Corner boy, corner boy, corner boy, corner boy, give it to you however you want it, boy.
Corner boy, I been making plays, been in corners, top dime, so the law can't smell all this marijuana. I came from the underground and made it well over grind. My down, well known it every time. I'm a corner boy and I ain't graduate with no diploma, boy, but still well known to get them 00 commas, boy. I started out with nothing, somehow made it out with some. My granny told me stay grinding and you gon' come up with some. My album,
where's my down coming from?
My album,
where's my down coming from?
Live in direct on every corner, boy.
Corner boy.
Money train all on every corner, boy.
Corner boy.
Household name on every corner, boy.
Corner boy.
Who? Mike Jones on every corner, boy.
Corner boy.
Household name on every corner, boy. Who? Mike Jones on every corner, boy.
I'm a corner boy. Corner boy. Corner boy. Corner boy. Give it to you however you want it, boy. Corner boy. Corner boy. Corner boy. Corner boy. Give it to you however you want it, boy.
Corner boy, corner boy, corner boy, give it to you however you want it, boy. Corner boy, corner boy, corner boy, corner boy, give it to you however you want it, boy. Welcome back to the Hypnotic Show. I'm wrapping up today's show, guest appearance with Kim Kardashian. Thank Kim for the interview. And then tomorrow I will announce this coming week the schedule for the guest appearances for the Thursday through Sunday episodes. I do it Thursday at 8, Friday at 8, Saturday 8, and then also Sunday at 8. That's my new schedule now for like 3 weeks now. I've had that schedule, so I will keep you guys posted for that by tomorrow. I'll announce it everywhere. And then as far as make sure to start your day off right until then, every day, make sure to start your day off with Hypnotic Coffee. Make sure to go and get that hypnoticcoffee.com. You know, go on there and get it. Start your day off right. And then also make sure to get those limited shoes before they're gone. And so hypnoticshoes.com. Make sure to grab them. Oakley glasses, limited edition, over at hypnoticglasses.com. And again, send music that you want played on the radio here, shoot it over to hypnoticshow@gmail.com. Again, that's hypnoticshow@gmail.com. And then make sure to send it to me. I'll check it out. You know, if I'm feeling it, boom, you know, I'll put it on the air for you. So make sure to also go and check out my interview on K9 Magazine. So that's K9Magazine.com/hypnotic. Peep that. And then also on the 29th, this coming Saturday, you'll be able to check out I'll be on the cover of that. Me and MJ, my baby, are going to be on that cover. So make sure to check for that too. I'll let you guys know on Thursday and on Saturday too. I'll let you guys know when it's popping, when it's going to be out there. Until then, talk to you guys on Thursday, 8 p.m. on the Hypnotic Show, Hip Hop's Finest Hour on the Radio. Peace.